So when I was 13 years old, which was a long, long, long time ago, I got this scar right here in my eyebrow, like right in the middle of my eyebrow. I split my eyebrow right down the middle. I wish I could tell you that I got it rescuing a small child from certain doom, but the real circumstances were far less heroic. Bottom line, I was trying to impress a girl. And it went badly. I was in junior high at a birthday party for someone in our church youth group. He was a really good friend of mine, but we both liked the same girl. And which at 13 years old basically meant neither one of us ever talked to her, and we did everything we could to get her to notice us. So that's basically how this worked. So we're playing softball at his birthday party, and this was my chance. Okay, we're playing ball. This was my time to impress her. I had played ball since I was 8 years old. Like, this is my game. I was going to own them, and she was going to notice me. So I got up to the plate, and I swung with everything I had, which wasn't all that much, and I hit a ground ball. And I was running to first base. And when I say running, I was running. I mean, arms pumping, feet churning. I was running faster than any kid at a backyard birthday party softball game should be running. I'm going for this. I'm going to beat this out. And I was going to beat out that play at first. Well, the guy, my friend, fielded the ground ball because I hit a slow roller to first base. It really was not a great hit. And so he picks up the ball, and he's going to first base to try to get me out. Remember, we're both trying to impress the same girl. And so he goes to tag first base to get me out, but instead of stepping on the base and stopping, he ran through first base. Now, this is not an actual picture of us, but it could have been, because this is what you have happening right now. And I run through first base, and he runs through first base, and we arrive at the exact same time. And his head collided with my head, specifically my mid-1980s huge face-covering glasses that I wore at the time. And the lens popped out and carved a nice path right through my eyebrow. And it separated completely and was hanging down over my eye. Needless to say, I needed quite a few stitches to close that bad boy up. So basically, my injury was due to pride, stupidity, and recklessness, all on the part of my friend. Maybe some of that was me too. But this scar right here that I carry was due to a funny set of circumstances. Heroic, even, you might say. But some of us have scars from situations that are a lot more serious. Sometimes they are scars that we hide. Scars that bring up old wounds that we would rather have forgotten about. Sometimes those scars have visible reminders. Sometimes they're just internal scars that we carry around with us, but they still make themselves known, and they still tell a story that sometimes we really don't want to hear again, and they never go away. Maybe we get these scars when we hurt others in a way that we can never really make right, and we carry those scars with us. Maybe these scars come from when we've been decimated by someone else's sin and their poor choices. Or maybe they came from hurting ourselves so badly that no one would ever understand. Whatever the cause, it doesn't matter why, those scars linger, and they remind us constantly about the day that we were hurt. And you know what those scars are, even if no one else does. You live with them every day. They keep you up at night. They're way more difficult to handle than any embarrassment maybe could be. And they all tell a story, because every scar has a story attached to it. Every scar tells a story. And throughout this series, we're going to be talking about the scars that we face in life. And like we just talked about, the way we get them and the stories they tell us is as different as each one of us is. You may have scars, and the story attached to them are going to be way different than other people's. And everybody has them. The Bible is filled with stories of the scars that people carry, both physical and emotional. And as we go through this series, we're going to talk about these stories. We're going to talk about the stories our scars tell, and more importantly, how we should deal with them. So I want to look at Galatians 6, verse 17 to kick things off this morning. And this is writing from Paul to the church in Galatia. And he says, "From now on, don't let anyone trouble me with these things. For I bear on my body the scars that show I belong to Jesus." So he says, don't let anyone trouble me with these things. Well, at first read, you should be asking yourself, what are these things? What is Paul talking about here? People had been arguing in this church about what they could or should do to prove themselves to God. And the argument that kept coming up again and again is circumcision. Do I need to follow the Old Testament patterns of Old Testament law? If I do, am I better or more holy than those who had not been raised in that tradition? And so there was this pride, puff chest type of, I'm better than you, I'm more spiritual than you because of some outward expression of my faith. And Paul put that argument to rest. And please note, his comment was, no, you're not better than them. And then basically Paul said, don't let me hear about this again. Stop it. This is a worthless argument. And then he brings up his scars. And Paul was no stranger to scars. The first thing we need to realize this morning as we look at this topic of scars in our lives and how do we deal with them is you don't get a scar without receiving a wound. You don't get a scar without receiving a wound. The wound precedes the scar. Paul wrote a good chunk of the New Testament that we have today in the form of letters to the churches that he helped start. He pioneered a lot of these churches, and Paul was what was really the world's first church planner and an incredibly successful one at that. But what did he go through to see these churches get off the ground, to see them get up and running? I want you to listen to what Paul experienced in the process of doing this work for God. He was imprisoned multiple times, spent time in jail again and again. He was shipwrecked three times. Three times. You'd think the man would stop traveling by boat after a while. Shipwrecked three times. They threatened to throw Paul off of a cliff. Five times he received 40 lashes minus one was the custom. That's 39 for those of you who are math challenged. That was the customary way of whipping someone. And they were inflicted with a long leather strap divided into thongs like this. And they had pieces of bone or metal that were attached to the tip of each of these leather straps. Three times he was beaten with rods. Once he was stoned. Had large rocks thrown at him until he could no longer stand, and death was often the result of these stonings. The first recorded martyr in the New Testament, Stephen, was killed in that way. Paul went through it. Paul dealt with scars. He experienced things we don't even want to think about, but here's what we all need to realize today about the scars that Paul accumulated, because experience is not what happens to you. It is what you do with what happens to you. That is experience. Experience is not what happens to you. It is what you do with what happens to you. The pain we endure when we are wounded has incredible ability to mold us and to define us. Paul's defining characteristic was not that he was wounded so often. That is not what defines Paul. You don't talk about Paul of the New Testament and think, oh, he had a hard life. What defines Paul, he's not known for the beatings. He's not known for the whippings. Paul is known for the victories that he experienced. He's known for the churches that he started. He's known for the writings that we have in the Word of God today. He's known for the teaching we have on how to live for Jesus. His wounds did not stop him, they shaped him. And so we can learn from Paul's experience. We can't let our wounds define us, they need to refine us. Don't let your wounds define you. Allow them to refine you, to make them into the person that God created you to be. They can make you stronger, they can redirect you, they can help you learn endurance, and they can make you more like Jesus. The other thing I want you to know about scars is this. Scars are a reminder of what you've been through, and more importantly, of who brought you through it. Your scars are a reminder of what you've been through, but more importantly, who brought you through it. What are scars? Scars are just old wounds that have healed. This scar in my eyebrow was a nasty wound, but it has healed now. The wound isn't there anymore. Only the scar remains. Scars cannot kill you. And when you are wounded, I want you to think about this. You can't talk about a wound around God in the scriptures without him talking about healing. As you read through the scriptures and you see injury or wounds or emotional hurt or pain, scripture again and again and again talks about the God who heals, about the God who restores, about the God who makes right. How many of you know this morning that we serve a God who heals? He restores. Psalm 34, 17 through 20, listen to this passage. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. For the Lord protects the bones of the righteous. Not one of them is broken. Another passage in Psalm 147, he heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. And then finally, Exodus 15, 26, it doesn't get more obvious than this. I am the Lord who heals you. Guys, when you are wounded emotionally, physically, when you are wounded in any way, shape, or form, I want you to know there is a God you can run to who is not going to turn you away. There is a God who is not only able to heal you, he is willing to heal you. These are just three examples from Scripture, but the Bible is filled with verse after verse talking about not only the healing ability of God, but the desire to heal us. Scars are just remnants of what used to be there. Some of you have gone through some really difficult times in your life. You've been wounded. Some of you have been wounded time and time again. And some of you have open wounds in your life right now. You are currently walking wounded. And you need to hear this today, that time does not heal all wounds. God does. Time does not heal all wounds. God does. If you just wait around long enough, not every wound is going to go away. Not every wound is going to heal. Not every wound is even going to diminish. Some of them get worse. You know, there's some wounds that if you don't deal with them, what happens? They get infected. And there's things in our lives that if we don't deal with them, if we don't take them to the cross, if we don't surrender them to Jesus, if we don't ask God to help us and intervene and step in the way, only way he can, then we are going to have problems for a long, long time in our lives. Time does not heal all wounds. God does. And he wants to heal yours. He doesn't just heal. God is a healer. It's his nature to heal. And as you trust in him, the wound that carries so much pain today will diminish and only a scar will remain. And here's the final thought that I want to share with you today regarding these scars that remain. We're going to dive into more stories of biblical characters who carried scars with them, and it helped shape and define them as they moved forward, and we're going to see that in the coming weeks. But the last thought that I want to share with you this morning about these scars that remain is this. Scars are not just for your benefit, but they are for others as well. Scars are not just for your benefit. They are for others as well. And this is tough for some of us to hear. That's kind of an intimidating thing to hear because not all of us like to live that publicly. Some of us, maybe you're ashamed of the scars that you carry. You're ashamed of what you did to that caused that scar to be present in your life. We want to hide them. We cover them up. We bury them emotionally. But that's not what they're intended for. Every scar tells a story, and that story isn't just for you to repeat to yourself. It's not a bedtime story that you tell yourself every night, but that is important. We need to remind ourselves of what God has done for us. If we have a scar in our lives, we need to remind ourselves of what God has done for us because scars do just that. They remind us. The memory of a painful past reminds me of the one who brought me through it. But they're also intended for others. When Paul told others about his experiences, he was telling them about how he was shipwrecked, how he was stoned, how he was imprisoned. He's telling them about all these things. It wasn't just to make them feel bad. Hey, please feel bad for me because I'm Paul and I went through a lot of rough stuff. He wasn't telling them for that reason. He was telling the story of his scars because they could learn and grow from what he went through, and so can we. We can learn from Paul's example, and as we read the pages of Scripture, we see that Paul was public about what he had gone through and how God had brought him through it, and we can learn from Paul's example. But that doesn't mean that we need to just go around telling everybody about our problems all the time. Because we've all run into those people who are there just like negative Nancy, and all they do is talk about the problems that they have in their lives. And you're like, man, does anything good ever happen to you? So you don't want to be just walking around airing your dirty laundry all the time. That's not what I'm talking about. If I had a massive flesh wound right now, let's say I had a cannonball wound right here, okay? And it was big, and it was covered up, and it was healing. I'm not going to go around showing everyone, hey, look at my wound, okay? That first of all, it'd be gross. Nobody wants to see that. Second of all, it needs to heal. It needs to stay covered so it can heal. But if a doctor was here and a doctor said, hey, let me take a look at your cannonball wound, you better believe I would let the doctor take a look. Why? Because they know what they're doing and they could help. But not everyone. They don't know what they're doing and they could make it worse. And in the same way, if you've got current wounds in your life, there's things you're going through, there's things that you're dealing with. I'm not saying you go up to everybody you know and tell them the problems that you're currently facing in your life, because guess what? Not everybody is qualified to help you with those. So you need to be judicious. You need to approach people that you trust, who have a solid relationship and footing with God, that you can go to them and you can say, hey, there's something I'm going through. Would you pray with me about this? Would you walk through this with me? There should only be a trusted few with whom we confide when we're wounded. Wounds are not meant to be exposed. And as the worship team comes back up and joins me, I want to just reiterate that. Wounds are not meant to be exposed. Cover your wounds, but show your scars. Cover your wounds, but show your scars. If it's current and fresh and you're going through it, that's something that you need to trust to a few people. But your scars, the past that God has healed you from and he has delivered you from and he has brought you through to the other side, they are not just for your benefit, but that is for others as well. It serves, number one, as a warning. Don't let others repeat the same mistakes you did. You may have scars in your life that you carry around because of mistakes that you have made, because of sin in your past, because of things that you did that you're not proud of. Guys, don't let others repeat the same mistakes you did. Let them know about the past that God delivered you from. Let them know about the consequences you had or even still have to deal with in your life now due to your mistakes in the past or because of your sin. Your scars can be a warning to others. My dad's alcoholism, I've told you about my dad's history with alcoholism for 20 years. He was a full-blown alcoholic, and the scars that it left on his life, even leading to his early death due to the cirrhosis of his liver, and the scars that it left on my life, that is a warning to me and others of the effect that alcohol abuse can have on someone's life and on their family. It's not worth it for me. I will never drink for that reason. That scar is a warning to me. And we can learn from what others have experienced. Listen to this one in 1 Timothy 5:20. Now buckle up when you hear this. Those who sin should be reprimanded in front of the whole church. This will serve as a strong warning to others. Now that's one of those verses that you read and you just kind of cock your head to the side and you're like, did the Bible really just say that? And don't worry, I'm not calling anybody up front. Just relax. But it is one of those, wait, what? That's not in the Bible, is it? And I'm not going to call you up here and let everybody know what sin is in your life. But here's the thing. Some of you already have done this. Here on Sunday mornings, this is not the place where you develop deep relationships. You don't sit in rows next to somebody else, listen to a guy talk at you for 30 minutes, and grow closer to them. That happens not in rows, but in circles, when we spend time with one another during the week in our neighborhood groups. Pockets of community that meet throughout the 380 corridor. Just about every night of the week, we have a different neighborhood group that meets. That's where you develop deep, meaningful relationships, where you develop trust and intimacy. And some of you have shared with your neighborhood group some of your past experiences. You've shared with them about mistakes that you've made, of the lessons that you have learned. And it's a warning to others not to walk down the same path that you did. And some of you, you're sitting here today and saying, I've never shared what I went through, and you need to. You need to share that with others because they can learn from it. As you spend time with your neighborhood group, as you dig into the Word of God, there will come opportunities to reveal some of the scars of your past so that others can be warned not to make the same mistakes. Share your story. Not only is it a warning, but scars can also be a testimony. Scars don't just tell us negative things. They can be something to celebrate. How God healed you. How God restored you, how God delivered you. Guys, if that is true about you, if that is true in your life, don't you dare keep that scar hidden away. There is someone in your life right now who needs to know about the goodness of God, and the story of your scar might be the means for them to discover God's love for them. You're a witness to God's healing power. That's what a testimony is. It's when a witness shares what they have seen or experienced. Bring it, church. Let's tell the story of our scars and let Jesus receive the glory. Let's tell the story of what God has done in our lives, of what He has brought us through. Those stories are too good to just tuck them away, to just cherish them in a little box and open them up every once in a while and look at them and say, wow, God did that for me. Isn't that great? We need to be sharing those stories and celebrating the goodness of God. Regardless of whether your scar is a warning, whether it's a testimony, or whether it's both, every scar is a reminder. You see, scars remain. They don't go away. That scar in my eyebrow will be with me for the rest of my life. And they are a reminder, not just to you, but to everyone in your life. Let them echo the story of your past, of what God has done, of what you have done for Him, of what He has brought you through. Your scar is not just for you. You see, what Paul was sharing about the scars. I bear the scars on my body that tell others that I belong to Jesus, that I'm doing His work. He was proud of the scars that he bore. When he took off his cloak and people could see his back and the scars that had built up from all the lashings that he had taken, that was a badge of honor because he didn't do it. He didn't get those because he broke the law. He got those because he stood up for Jesus, because he wouldn't compromise his faith. They were a badge of honor that Paul was proud of for that reason, not for his own steadfastness, but in the one that he served. Your scar is not just for you. Tell the story, church. Don't let your pain just be something you remember, but let it be something that is shared. What you went through, what God brought you through. There may be times in your life where you look back and you say, man, why did I have to go through that? Why in the world did I have to experience that? Well, the reason is we live in a fallen world and we're surrounded by sin and we're going to face things in life that are not perfect. But on the other side, when God has healed, when God has restored, when God has brought you through, or is in the process of bringing you through, there are times where God is going to bring someone across your path. He's going to bring someone into your life that is struggling similarly, and you're going to be able to speak life into their circumstances. You're going to be able to bring hope, and you're going to be able to lead them to a path of healing that ends in the cross of Jesus Christ, because He has done something for you, and you can share that story. Let your scars tell a story, not just for you, but for those around you. Let's bow our heads and pray this morning, church.